And welcome to another edition of The Buzz, soon to be Carnivore Radio. Correct, Dr. Lopkin?
Correct.
And we also had our first podcast today, didn't we?
We recorded our first podcast today. That'll be up and running next week. And our listeners can check that out. It's part of the Exvadio podcast network. So they can go to blogtalkradio.com/Exvadio and hear short 5-minute bursts of just one issue talking about.
I think our first one went, obviously it's self-serving for me to say. But I thought our first podcast went quite well.
Yes, it was quite good.
Excellent. So I think the big topic in the news, and for our listeners out there, it's a nice rainy, it's a crazy rainy day. From everywhere from Boston to, down near Philly, it's just a monsoon. Yep. So, it is kind of crazy. Even driving here, Dr. Lopkin, once in a while the car goes, whoo, like this,
Oh, yes. We hit a number of gusts of wind, just blew the car over.
Yes. So, for our listeners out there that like to join the discussion, the number is 860-685-7700, 685-7700. The wind blew my brain out, I think. 860-685-7700. And the main topic is gun violence. Dr. Lopkin, we had a great show. You weren't a part of it, unfortunately, last week on gun violence. And a lot of good participation from our listening audience. And basically, I think people were pretty outraged that some lunatic can get essentially a semi-auto, a bump stock, and kill, too many innocent people.
Yeah, it is really ridiculous what's become of gun violence in this country. And it's more than just the availability of guns. I mean, we have laws that are supposed to be preventing this that aren't even being enforced.
Yes.
So, I mean, we're talking a lot about new regulations, and most of the regulations I've heard of are completely justified.
The main point is, how does a nutcase get a hold? Okay, dispense of everything else. How does a nut get a hold, essentially, of an AK-47?
I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. He should never have been allowed to get the gun. But even more than that, I mean, the FBI was warned about him in advance. The Florida State Troopers were warned about him in advance. And everybody dropped the ball on this one.
Okay, now the FBI, I grew up with a show called The FBI. It's one of those Quinn Martin productions. They're pretty crappy. But anyway, like Barnaby Jones, remember that?
I remember Barnaby
Cannon.
Jones, yes.
Remember Cannon?
Cannon?
They're
I
all
do.
Quinn Martin. It's like, I bet he made it back then for about an episode of $100,000 for an episode. They had the same scene of the car blowing up. It's the same car.
Right.
Whatever. but there once was the FBI of J. Edgar Hoover, so on and so forth. I mean, they're a political hack organization, aren't they?
There's certainly too much politics involved in what the Justice Department, the FBI, is doing now. And unfortunately, when you have an agency that's answers to politicians, that tends to happen. But I think even a bigger problem is they don't have the manpower to field all the calls, to check social media. We've become so divisive, and there's so much information out there that the FBI no longer has the ability to go through it fast enough to stop the threats from happening. And we really need to modernize our agencies so that they can deal with these problems. I mean, it's really gotten to the point. They simply cannot keep up with the flow of information in time to actually react.
860-685-7700, 685-7700. We're talking about gun violence. We're talking about the FBI, its tarnished reputation. And, I'm also starting to think, unfortunately, Dr. Lopkin, that years ago, it used to be, remember the term going postal?
Yes.
And if you were a nutcase back then, you go into post office or whatever, okay. I think, unfortunately, now it's become, after Columbine, I think schools,
are
magnets for nutcases to go out, if you will, in their own mind's glory.
Yes. Part of it is because they know these are supposed to be safe zones. You know, they know they're not going to come up with against any armed opposition there because everybody makes a big deal about making these gun-free zones. But even more than that, I think the coverage that it keeps getting, it reinforces the idea that, oh, if I take out a school, I'm going to be famous.
Yes, we were talking about that last week. I believe Chris brought it up that, okay, you're down and out. I mean, obviously you got mental illness because no one would even contemplate something like that, okay, no matter how bad your life is, all right?
Right.
So basically you're a loser who's also mentally ill. It's like, you know, you've won the lottery. Okay, so anyway, if you're going to go out, you can go out. Basically, you know, jump off a cliff, but here's your way for in infamy you're going to live. And I believe Chris had a good point that the coverage you're going to get, you will live in infamy.
You will. It's very true. I mean, just this week, the shooting at Sandy Hook took place 5 years ago. This week, there is a lawsuit going on to release more information about the case. They want to release the killer's journal. They want to release some other info that he had kept. So this is 5 years after he's gone. They're still talking about him. He's still getting coverage. This is what these people want.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you have to be twisted to even contemplate them, but in a
yes.
twisted sense of reality, you've done nothing in your life. You got nothing to show for nothing. And all of a sudden, you go out in a weird way, as an instant celebrity.
That's it. All of a sudden, in the killer's mind, they have all of the things that they never had. They've got
and never worked for it.
Never worked for. They've got popularity. They've got notoriety. People know who they are.
They're somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I could have been somebody.
Right. And the thing is, you know, I appreciate that the students have been coming out and talking about how they need to be protected, and, you know, they're working towards gun control. But I have to wonder how many of these kids who are yelling about gun control now ever walked up to somebody in their school that maybe was sitting alone, who was separate from the group, and tried to befriend them, tried to include them.
Wait a second,
that's where we have to start.
You have a great point. 860-685-7700, 685-7700, if you'd like to join in the discussion about gun violence and gun control. How many ticking time bombs are there out there? You know, the individuals, the students under the radar, they never get the girls, they never get the boys, they're not social, they kind of brood, they might be into like dark fantasy games, and they go unrecognized, unnoticed.
Well, they go unnoticed. They go unrecognized. And the problem is the number of them is constantly growing.
Why is that? Part
of it is social media. Because now, you know, when I was a kid, now I'll be really honest, when I was in elementary school, junior high school, I was dealing with the death of my father. I was dealing with massive health problems of my own. I was in a dark place. What kept me from going, you know, where some of these wackos go, was the fact that I had friends who kept talking to
Whoa.
Me and taking me out, and, you know.
You know, so wait a second. That is more than interesting, because I've had situations where, yes, we all go into dark places.
Right.
Something happens. And you know something? If you have friends, you're going to probably get through it.
Exactly.
If you're alienated, it could go real bad.
It can go really
bad. Either for your own self
or
others.
Now imagine that person who's been alienated, who's in that dark place, who doesn't have friends who are pulling him out of it. He logs on to Facebook, and he sees everybody talking about what a great time they're having and what a great life they're having and all of the things that he wants and doesn't have.
Wow, wait a second. Lopkin, that is a amazingly interesting concept. I wonder if our listeners would have an opinion on that as well in terms of social media maybe amping things up. Because again, we're from the same era.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm in junior high school, although I was the coolest guy around. But anyway, you know, junior high school, yeah, you know, I can understand. You might not get invited to the party.
Right, you don't get invited out.
You might not have the best looking girl, but it's not.
You might not have any girlfriends. Fine. You know,
it's not in your face. Meaning, it's not like you're looking at everyone else at the party. You know, they're showing you the social media from the party that you didn't get invited to.
Right,
the girlfriends that you never had, and they're all with you know all these guys that you know from school. I think it amps up the temperature.
It does, because now not only are you in that dark place, not only are you, you know, in these shadows that you've created, but now it's being reflected back at you because you're saying, oh, it's just me. Everybody else has this wonderful life. Why not me? And we all know that everybody does not have a wonderful life, but the stuff you're putting on social media tends to be best foot.
It's a stereotypical version of a real life.
Right.
It's a reality show version of someone's life. You're not going to put on, gee, I had a really crappy day today. No, you're going to say, well, I had a great time, went fishing with Dr. Lopkin, blah, 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 and it was all fantastic.
Exactly. Yeah. And actually, that phrase is good. It's a reality TV version. Now let's bring the media into it. You've got reality television, so you're being constantly bombarded with these, oh, these people are famous for being famous. They've got money. They did nothing to deserve it.
The Kardashian factor.
Right.
Remember 10 years ago we came up
yes.
with that? You know, getting money for doing absolutely nothing.
And that pushes these people further into that darkness. And we've got.
And also, let's be honest, mental health ladders are stripped away.
Yes.
Reagan actually started that. If you got problems, it's only a triage system now. In other words, you're only going to get help when something goes really bad. There's not a place you can walk in every community and say, you know, I'm really depressed. I'm really got a problem. I might hurt someone. I might hurt myself. It's just not available to most people.
No.
If you've got the money to pay for a psychologist, psychiatrist, okay.
Now, There are resources available, but a lot of people don't even know that. Like, how many of our listeners even know that if something's going wrong like that, they can dial 211 and get a referral and get help?
Well, explain that. What happens when you dial 211?
211 is a state hotline that you can call them up and tell them, look, I'm very depressed. And they will connect you to somebody to talk to, a professional that can help you.
That, you know, that should be better communicated.
It really should. People don't know the resources
that could save a life.
They have.
That could save someone's life or other people's lives if they dial with 211.
211.
Yeah, I think, yeah. So, in other words, if you're depressed, you might kill yourself
and
or do
what
harm
it is
to yourself.
211 is a general info line that the state runs. So it's, you know, if you're having a mental health problem, you can call 211. If you're having a problem keeping your power or keeping your heat on, you can call 211.
Did not know that.
It's a general hotline, but they will connect you to the people that can help.
Okay, now the gun debate is between this. It's one side is, okay, I think there's three sides, three phases, three sectors. It's divided into thirds. One third is the NRA, Uber NRA, is like everyone should have a semi-automatic,
right.
Machine gun, howitzer, grenade launcher, because it's a Second Amendment. The, I'll say middle ground, that may not be the middle ground, our callers will have to, you know, speak to that, is the Second Amendment's important because it protects against a Stalinistic, intrusionary, overreaching government. Correct,
right.
Dr. Lopkin?
Yes.
And the third is the left's answer, which is we want no guns.
Right. That's
the spectrum
that it runs
Let's
on.
Let's take the left side, and I want you to articulate that. And if our callers, we got our new transmitters up and running. We got tons of calls last week. Great topic. I guess people are just hunkered down.
They're hunkered down. They're trying to avoid the storm and keep, you know, stay inside.
You know, there's 50,000 power outages in Connecticut.
I didn't realize it was that many already.
Already, yes. Is the storm going to get worse or not?
The storm is supposed to still get worse. There's still heavier winds coming.
Is there going to be snow anywhere?
The northern part of the state will probably get snow. Down here, probably not. We might end up with like some slush, but we're getting a lot of precipitation. So, yeah, it could be our callers are just dealing with the storm, you know.
Scared to dial in. I don't blame him. We do have a caller, and our callers always take precedence. So, whoa. It helps, Mr. Sherman, if you know how to operate the technology. A caller, are you there?
I am. I figured I'd call in before I lose power today.
There you go.
That's perfect. You know, I don't know. What is your prediction about that? It's 50,000 people have already lost power. I don't know. This could be worse than maybe I first imagined. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't think it's going to be. It probably won't be as bad as we imagine, not as good as we hoped, you know, somewhere in
there. Probably.
Well done. So we just started the discussion. I thought last week we had a really good discussion. Do you like my how I broke it into thirds? Like you got the Uber NRA, which everyone should have a tripod machine gun. I'll use the term middle of the road is Second Amendment needs to be protected. And then the left's version, no one should have guns.
Yeah, I'd have to disagree with the left's version.
Of course you would.
Of course I would, right.
So like Gomer Pyle, surprise, surprise, surprise. Go ahead.
And it's no surprise that you would frame the argument that way.
Exactly. You know, it's like we're an old couple.
That's right.
You know, we're an old married couple. Okay, go ahead.
And we even start to finish one another's sentence.
Exactly.
So, you know, I don't think liberals, I mean, I'm sure you can always find a few, generally speaking. Nobody wants to take away all the guns. That's the big thing from the right.
That's the boogeyman.
Okay,
that's
can I just interject one thing, and then you will have a complete stage to yourself. I just want to tell you my argument. I do not own a gun. I think guns, I'm not a hunter, not into that. I think guns invite more trouble than they prevent. In other words, things like, you know, arguments that would have ended in just yelling could escalate given the right conditions. I could accidentally go off someone in your house. The list goes on. I'm not going to bore you. Okay, so I get it. But here's what and you can think about black helicopters. If I had my A game today, I'd have in the background the choppers going off, but I'm not going to do that. I really don't own a gun. I'm not going to own a gun, but I am a strong advocate of the Second Amendment because I do fear an overreaching government. You see that. You know, you look at the last 30, 40 years, how government's become more and more and increasingly intrusive. I sleep better at night knowing that an armed populace at least is in some ways a deterrent for an overreaching government. And then the rest is yours, my friend.
Well, thank you. So, you know, like most conservatives and libertarians, you know, they're looking for tyranny under every rock, you know. I mean, it's everywhere. It's sort of this socialism is the boogeyman in the closet, same with this issue, which is, you know, liberals just want to take away everyone's guns, when in reality, they don't want to take away the guns. They don't want to, 65% of Americans agree with the Second Amendment. Actually, more than 85% agree with the Second Amendment. 65% simply want reasonable, sensible gun reform. And what that brings me to is this is, you know, mental health, social media, mass media, all these other issues are really just byproducts of the underlying problem, which is the proliferation of AR-15 style assault weapons in our culture. It really comes down to that.
See, that's where I have to disagree with you. While the proliferation of the weapon is a problem, I don't think that's the underlying problem. I think that's one of the problems that is contributing to this, not the main one. I think if we can find these folks and get them help and keep them from going to that dark place in the first place, they're never going to think about getting an AR-15.
Well, let's look at it this way. The U.S. has, per capita, we don't have any more mental health than Europe or Asia or China.
I'm not sure that's true.
No,
but
that
go
is
ahead.
Absolutely true. We have the same, you know, fundamentally, we have the same amount of mental health issues, mental health people, mental health diagnosis. So it's really, but their percentage of gun violence and mass shootings is far lower. So that tells us that it is not about mental health. It's mental health is a byproduct, but it's not about mental health. What it tells us and what it clearly indicates, it's about the proliferation of weapons, and in this case, AR-style assault weapons.
Well, no, because if you spread that out further, if you take a look at the overall crime statistics, they actually have higher levels of stabbings, higher levels of... Hell, we just had here in Middletown somebody driving a car into a... If they don't have that weapon, if they're still going down into that darkness, they're going to pull another weapon. They're going to find another way to do this.
Well, but you can also make the opposite argument. It was, okay, if we arm our schools and we give teachers weapons,
Can I interject on that?
Sure.
I think that is one of, I know Trump is proposing that. You talk about a prescription for disaster.
Exactly.
That is, first of all, teachers aren't paramilitary. What if they see someone, you know, that they think running down the hall, it could be a UPS, or, you know, someone delivering something that's in a hurry, looks a little, maybe, you know, they're not kept, whatever. I think it's a prescription for disaster. What happens if a student goes in the drawer or somewhere that the gun is kept? And takes the you think that's a good concept?
I don't think it's a good concept to have all the teachers armed. I do like the way it's handled in the schools in Israel, which is one armed security guard is trained.
That's completely different. But Trump's talking about arming teachers.
That's right. And Jeff, let me dovetail on that. Is that this is the kind of convoluted logic that we get from conservatives. It's the same as adding more alcohol to solve drunk driving, or more cigarettes to combat cancer, or more cheeseburgers to prevent heart disease. The obvious answer to the problem can be found in the schoolyard itself. If a child hits another child with a stick, do we give everyone else a stick? Or we just take away?
I completely agree.
See, but that's another part of the problem.
I do agree. Lopkin, go on in one second. I do agree with Lopkin. He gave the Israeli example. I think if you had one trained person, I'm for that. But the teachers, I think that's Trump really not thinking it through.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
See, what you were saying, though, about the kid hitting the kid, that's another part of this problem that goes to what I was talking about before. The schools right now are not even handling that level of bullying well.
Right, but these are byproducts. The mental health, the bullying, the social media.
Bullying is not a byproduct of having guns. Bullying goes on every day, and it's not, you know, into it.
Right, but you're conflating bullying with massacres, school massacres. I'm saying that if we're going to focus on the issue of school massacres, then it is a proliferation. Thank you. Of assault style weapons in our culture. That really is what's going on here. The bullying does exist. The social media is a problem. Mental health is a problem. But when we're talking about school massacres, that's the difference.
Okay.
I think the massacres are the end result. If we can stop the bullying early, if we can help these kids early, they're never even going to consider picking up the gun.
But that completely discounts massacres or shootings that don't occur in school.
I think there's two issues. I think that Lopkin, how'd you like this for being politically correct? I believe you and Lopkin are both right. I think that we can talk about the guns in a second, but I don't think we have enough early intervention, early enough resources to help people, young people in particular, and old, that are mentally ill or going down a bad path. I think we're in a triage system. We only treat people who don't have, let's say, the resources when it's already something bad happened, even to themselves other people.
Yes,
and I'm not saying that is incorrect. I'm just saying that conflates the issue of mass shootings, particularly in our school.
Okay, now I want you to address something for me, because I'm not a gun owner, but I said I sleep better at night because I do fear an overreaching government, because if there's no guns, people have no guns.
Well, nobody's talking about no guns.
Okay, Okay, but
nobody, well, except the right.
No, no, no. There are a small percentage that do want that. It's not
for the practices of a discussion. Nobody's talking
all right,
about taking
fine,
away guns.
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you one other question. This is just my own edification. It's not even a political discussion. Is I don't understand why someone would need, let's say, a AR-15. Like, what do you do with it?
Well, you know what? And No.
I'm not even talking. I'm really coming almost like humorous. Like, what do you do? Go to
a
field?
Well, no, and I want to answer that. I think it's a very good question, because I think it's the fundamental question here. Is that because, you know, the AR-15 is engineered as the perfect killing machine to create what one of its designers actually called the maximum wound effect. And here's the difference between the AR-15 and other types of lower velocity weapons, like a 9mm, that can be used in these kinds of incidents. The difference is the devastating injuries that result from
the bullet tumbles versus spin. But I guess what I'm saying is that I'm really asking you.
Well,
a question,
that's my point. You can't hunt with it.
No, you can't hunt with it.
Right.
Outside of a military situation, there is no practical use for the AR-15.
But the person that buys it, what do? They go to a field and just shoot up a bunch of trees? I don't get it.
Actually seen that, yes.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do? Like, okay, you bring your buddies, you get drunk, and you shoot up a bunch. What do you do?
Yeah, Jeff, and I think that gets to another important point here, is that the NRA continues to frame this as a constitutional argument, when in fact, what they're really doing is just peddling weapons of war to civilians who have commando fantasies.
That's it. That's right. Yeah, yeah. You go have a couple, more than a couple of beers, and you chew some tobacco, and you think you're the Lone Ranger, or you think you're a paramilitary organization. The thing is a little twisted. I would rather do almost anything on a Saturday than do that.
I actually heard a great analogy the other day. They were talking about cars, and they said, you cannot drive a race car on the street. It's not road legal. The AR-15 is that same sort of thing. It's created for the military. The race car is created for the track. It should not enter into civilian life.
Right. Okay, but you don't think the AR-50, I'm going to just throw out a theoretical argument, prevents, you have an armed populace that has real capabilities, let's just say, right? So the military, I mean, the government decides to declare martial law or have a coup or whatever it is. You have an armed population that basically represents a militia, a resistance that has real capabilities beyond a single shot weapon. Caller, any validity to that? I'm just throwing that out as an argument.
I don't know. You know, there's a lot of conjecture and speculation in there. And, you know, that's a whole nother. I think just to stay on track here, if with all due respect, is that, you know, this really is about what is happening when our school children are being massacred and nothing changes. Nothing. And now we're beginning to see some, at least we're talking about it, but we're still seeing a lot of resistance from the NRA.
You're always going to see resistance from the NRA. That's their job.
That is not their job. There's the problem, is that is not their job. They're in a leadership position. They have an opportunity to make a difference, and they don't.
The caller has a really good point. Because one thing about, and I actually taught this last week at Southern, that to have a convincing argument, you never try to go from 0 to 60, meaning you acknowledge other people's viewpoints, and then you push the needle, as you probably know, Dr. Lopkin. And to the caller, it's correct. The NRA really has they're missing a great opportunity and run the risk of really damaging themselves. Acknowledge that there may be a problem.
Yes.
You're not going to throw out the baby with the bathwater. You're not going to say, oh, we're going to get revolved. But say, okay, you know, the AR-15, yeah. You know, we do need more background checks. Yeah. And, you know, at gun shows, not every Tom, Dick, and Harry can just walk in there and get a semi-automatic.
Right. And you know, the NRA has been behind opposing the private sale loopholes. They've been behind opposing or closing down the Dickey Amendment, which effectively barred the CDC from studying the implications of assault-style weapons on our society. They've been they're behind opposing every reasonable gun control measure.
Not every. They have. I got to give them a little credit. I'm not a member of the NRA. I'm not a fan of the NRA. But recently, they did finally except the fact that they are actually behind a bill to ban the sale of bump stocks. So we're starting to see some progress from
them. Let's talk about this. I think politically, this is becoming, it was a the left abortioned their ticket. The right was of all Second Amendment. I think more and more people are starting to say, wait a second, this is getting a little too far. I think it's becoming a touchy political subject for the right. What do you think, caller?
Yeah, I think it's becoming harder for them to defend this.
That's what I'm saying,
it's
yes.
becoming harder for them to defend the people they put into office who are carrying the water for the NRA. It's becoming much more difficult.
And people are, I think, we'll close on this, I think people are sick or had enough of, okay, another shooting, we'll talk, a little bit of a discussion, it's really awful, it's so sad, we mourn their deaths, but then nothing happens, correct?
Yeah, how many more school children have to get murdered slaughtered before we do something?
Well, I thank you for the call.
Thank
we
you.
Almost agreed on...
Jeff, I am so impressed.
We were actually pretty close on
there
all of
go.
This stuff.
Right, yeah, next week, I'm sure it's going to be a disaster. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
All right, take care. Have a good weekend.
To
see you. Yes, I thought it was a good discussion, and I guess we'll open it up to anyone else as we close out this topic.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good discussion, although the caller did... focus on what actually we talked about briefly in the podcast is actually one of my fears, that the focus on gun control will sort of go, okay, well, we did gun control, that's taken care of, and now we don't have to worry about the rest of the factors to the problem. I want to see gun control, but I want to see all of the factors dealt with.
Mm-hmm. I want to see increased background checks. I rather the actual... pieces of ammunition and guns doesn't bother me as much as access. That's
well, there's
the
a lot
no,
of
no,
access.
The access is the problem. When a nutcase can get a machine gun, I don't like
right.
it.
Actually, I think there was an old joke by Chris Rock who said one of the best way to deal with this is don't worry about the weapons, forget the weapons, make the ammunition too expensive for anybody to afford. Because without the ammunition, the weapon is useless. I think that it's a great way to look at it. But really, there are some weapons. And, you know, you were saying, what is the AR-15 used for? Personally, I think if you're a gun owner, if you can't take a single-shot weapon and hit what you're aiming at, maybe you shouldn't be a gun owner.
Dr. Lopkin, sometimes, actually most often, I am correct. I believe the scenario I articulated is your AR-15 owner.
Yeah.
A couple buds, more than a couple, you know, chewing some tobacco, got the camouflage.
Shoot out an old car.
Yeah. All right. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I love your show. Listen, a little happy chastisement, which we're just talking about. You know, a lot of people who have lived their lives in this region of the country are in parts of the United States who have never been outside of here don't understand that some people do that. I mean, if you live out in Wyoming or Arizona or out in one of those desert areas, people do that. They'll go out and they'll shoot stuff. And and you can use the AR for stuff like that, and it's a completely different culture. And I just want to say one more thing. I'm not going to stay on the line long. I've lived in many places, and I've also lived in foreign countries. I speak more than one language. I lived in Venezuela for a year. And the previous caller, I hope you're listening to this, because it's becoming like Venezuela in this country. The previous caller has a strict set of things that he wants. He's not going to back down, and the other side is like that. And my last thing is I'm going
to
say...
No, wait, I got to ask a question. I need to ask you a question. You went to Venezuela. They had basically a revolution. I don't own a gun, but to me, I sleep better at night knowing that our government's going to think twice before they do... things they might do without an armed population. Do you think I'm full of it?
This is one of the points I'm trying to make. You're exactly correct in saying that.
Always
you know,
correct,
the previous caller has never lived in a country where that's gone on. And let me tell you what, people thought the Soviet Union would never collapse, and it happened. And people think that bad things can't happen here and the government can't try to do things. I'm sorry. Things can happen in any country, including this one.
Oh, no, no. Those days are over with me. I used to think, oh, you know, you grow up, you know, and it's, you know, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. You look at some of the abuses of even the Obama administration. He had a surveillance society. That's a little scary. I don't think that's black helicopters. Do
oh, no.
you?
There have been abuses under every administration, to the right and to the left.
Caller, that's pretty close to home, isn't it?
Well, you know, Obama tried to tap the Chancellor of Germany's phone, okay? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not going for the left or for the right. I'm going for reality. And that previous caller has his head in the sky. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. And we did miss a caller, Dr. Lapkin. We invite him or her to come back to the show at 860-685-7700, 685-7700. Just hit redial. Come on, we'd love to talk with you.
Absolutely.
860-685-7700. I think the Venezuela example is a good example.
It's a great example. And, you know, it's funny, though, because the example that we're giving, we're talking about a well-armed militia. I find it absolutely hysterical that I've actually heard the same people say, oh, we don't have to worry about here. That's never going to happen here. These same people were actually accusing Trump of being a military strongman and we have to overthrow him. So you've got, you know, people on the, you know, the radical left who are playing both sides of it.
Yes, I've heard that Trump, you know, the strongman, blah, 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 whatever. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But we do have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, yes, sir. I'd have to say that you and the doctor are making more sense about this than I've heard any other place.
Isn't the show...
Thank you.
Isn't, and by the way, we're rebranding from The Buzz to Carnivore Radio. But don't me and the doctor usually nail it?
Well, I don't know about usually, but you certainly got it today.
I thought I'd go for a stretch. Anyway, go ahead. So what say you?
Well, the previous caller is falling into the other...
Yeah, he's falling into the abyss. It was a kumbaya moment with him and I, but it's over. I guess you guys have trashed him anyway.
No, it's you know, the fear of the ugly gun. I mean, it's just that... any other thing is fine, but that, because of the way it looks, it should be banned. It should be, you know, thrown off the face of the earth. But I think the doctor is 100% right. It's this situation that breeds the need that someone has to go and do something so incredibly wrong.
I like his analysis about the whole social media. Like 30, 40 years ago, you have a kid that's a little depressed, obviously not good, think bad things might have happened, but I think it accelerates the depression when he sees this reality-based world that's really not reality, that, you know, people are going to parties, they're dating all these women, they're doing this, they're doing that. He's not a part of it.
Yeah.
He's increasingly, because it's usually male, is increasingly isolated. I think it accelerates an already dangerous situation, doesn't it?
I'll show them.
I'll show them.
He sees these shootings, because one thing that all of these school shooters have had in common as they investigate is they all studied previous shootings. Because they saw, oh, look, this person did this, and he got famous, and look, everybody knows he's a somebody now. I can do that, too.
Here's in a weird way. Here's what's missing in the equation, because these people are ill. They think fame, celebrityism, everything else, but they miss the equation that, yeah, but you're dead.
Well,
I'm dead serious about that. I think, oh, I'm going to do, but they're so...
But honestly, I don't think that even matters to them at that
you're
point.
You're probably right, yeah. It's like the old, like, Hitler in the bunker. He's infamous for...
Right.
For millennia, forever, right?
Right, yes.
So anyway, what do you stand? Do you think that there is people on the left or the left's usual stance that, do you think they try to always grab guns and use these as examples or excuses to do that?
Certainly. And not just the ugly guns. I agree with your three-part theory that there's the absolutely no gun population that would agree with that, like Australia, pretty much, when they took away pretty much all the guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, there are people that fall along every part of that spectrum. And we're not going to solve the problem unless we can get the people on all the way on the right and all the way on the left to come off of those positions a little and start talking.
Agreed. Now, caller, last point, and I think Lopkin kind of has the point. I really believe, seriously, I really do believe, I don't own a gun, but I think it's not a it's not an actual hardware issue, meaning the guns. I think it's a software issue with mental health. I think
I agree with that. Completely insane.
You could be in front of M16s and AK-47s and not have the urge to blow away a bunch of kids in a school. I think we don't do enough in this country. We always do triage after the horrible event, either to someone's, you know, individual or to a whole group happens. Then we act. I think there should be some more early intervention. And also, look at all the people who dropped the ball, the FBI, all these others. This kid was, was a nutcase.
Well, yes. And the thing is, though, all of these actions that the government takes afterwards, who do they affect most, really? It's the law-abiding person who has a gun or two and is, you know, responsible gun owner who has one for protection of his family or to shoot targets or go out and hunt. They're the ones that, you know, generally have more hoops to jump through. And
well, that isn't always the case with big government. In other words, it never affects them. It never affects the elite. It only affects the John Q. public, doesn't it?
That's also the problem, though. When something like this happens, because we're not being proactive, everybody goes, oh, we've got to do something quickly. We've got to do something quickly.
Yes, and give us my feel-good legislation.
Exactly.
I want it now.
When you do something quickly, you tend not to look at everything it's doing or even if it's effective.
Very true, which is why we haven't heard anything like you've been saying today. It is why we're in a situation with
Chris Murphy will make some hay out of it, because basically that's the only issue that he really knows anything about.
Well, not really.
Or at least claims. Exactly.
He didn't even go into any depth about it. All it is once again more of this.
We have a Forrest Gump governor and a Forrest Gump senator. How did this ever happen?
Two Forrest Gump senators.
I mean, the guy is not exactly a Mensa candidate.
No.
Well.
All right, take care. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
Bye. Yes, you know, the Gump brothers. My
yes.
God. You know, my God. So, last call for the discussion on guns. I think we kind of nailed it on this one. I think the NRA does have some egg on their face, but I think it's a software, not a hardware issue. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. The problem is people wanting to do violence. And if we can help those people and get them out of that dark space so that they don't even consider looking at the gun, then the gun itself isn't going to be as big a factor.
Yes. Well, we do have a caller on the line. Hopefully I won't screw this one up. Caller, are you there?
Hi.
Hello. What say you?
Okay. I'm just calling in on two points. You had mentioned Israel and their,
security.
Right. So, you know, there's an interesting thing in Israel. They're not so much concerned as what you have as to who you are.
Right.
So that's another
What do you mean? Say that again. Say that again. What does that mean?
They're not as much concerned as to what you have in your possession, like at the airports, but they want to know who you are. They do extreme background checks on people, and they want to know exactly who is this person.
Interesting.
Because, yes. And then another point, I worked for the rabbi who is a Holocaust survivor. He's about 87 years old. His entire village was rounded up, put into a theater, and the building was set aflame. The only reason why he survived is his mom pushed him out the window and said, live. But the one thing that he said was, had we had some weapons, they may not have rounded us up so easily.
No.
Right.
We said that on the show. It was another shooting, and it was another discussion. I think a caller called up and said that he was saying about that, to your exact point, that actually, when you think about it, with an armed population, I'm not so sure the Holocaust could have happened. Or not
right.
as easily. I mean, obviously, you know, there would have been fatality, but it wouldn't have been this mass roundup. And, you know, I don't think I'm crazy to think that I sleep a little better at night knowing that an armed populace prevents an overreaching authoritarian government. Right. Am I crazy?
Right. No, you're not crazy. And actually what they did then was they had people turn in their weapons. Before.
Yeah. Well, right. That's the first sign that you know something's going to go really bad, don't you?
Exactly. And he was young at the time. He was not even a teenager and, you know, saw atrocities happen. And, you know, he survived, but
you know
he
something?
Says.
I like the caller before you. I just want you to reflect on this, that, you know, we all think, I think we're very naive in America that, you know, we grew up, you know, reading about George Washington and Hamilton and all that kind of stuff and, you know, Lincoln, and we don't think anything can happen here. But you look at even the recent abuses with the surveillance state that Obama set up. I'm not so sure
right.
it can happen here. Why couldn't it, correct?
Right, exactly. And another point is he said that the only people that were able to get out were people with passports. So that's another thing, too, you know, that everyone should have a passport in case something happens and you can leave.
Excellent.
You know?
Yes. Excellent caller. Thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
Take care. Well, you know, Lopkin, I thought that was a some really good points. And now I just want to play. Let's get a little, if you will, humorous about this. We're going to switch gears. I want to play you a little clip from one of our favorite shows. I think it's, MSNBC Morning Joe. Joe Scarborough, another Mensa candidate. But anyway, here's a little clip from that.
Enough for it to matter at the level that it needs to matter. So we can have these conversations all day long, and all the punditry can be absolutely correct, but if it's not going to show up in the voting booths.
See, I'm not sure I agree with that, though. If you look, Trump's bump from the taxes is gone, right?
His approval rating is at all-time low.
Exactly.
And yet,
we'll put that up. CNN today had him at 35%, his lowest approval rating.
And yet the people
record.
Who support him still support him, and they think that this is all a hoax and this is a scam.
I'll go one better than you. And this scares me.
Last word.
And that if he is not taken out of office.
In handcuffs.
Voted out of office by 2020, he will win again in a landslide.
Now if you like Trump or don't, has the left become deranged? Like you talk about democracy and you think I'm like crazy about an armed populace. They're talking about because they don't like Trump.
Right.
No, they don't like a sitting president. They do not like a sitting president, so therefore he should be taken out in cuffs.
That's it. They are basically saying we cannot allow the American public to make the decision as to who this leader is.
So as I said for a long time, is the left the new fascists?
Well, clearly this shows they are. It's gotten to the point where they're saying, oh, no, we cannot have Trump as a leader. And if we let the American public vote for him again, they're going to reelect him.
But isn't that always elitist mentality that you're just too stupid?
It is. It's they look at the country as a whole and they go, you know what? You don't know enough to vote. You should not be allowed to make these decisions. Leave it to us. Yes. We'll do it for you.
And you know what the interesting thing, Dr. Lopkin, and if a caller would like to chime in, 860-685-7700, 685-7700. Look what the intelligentsia has given us. And let's just start with Vietnam. Getting into a war under false pretenses with absolutely no strategy to win, sending hundreds of thousands of young boys into a conflict with no end in sight, just for one, and $20 trillion debt. They've done a great job, haven't they?
They've done fantastic. You know, the problem is they're looking at theories and going, oh, well, let's do this because in theory it'll work, but in practice it doesn't. And one of the big problems is these intelligentsia tend to be located in specific areas. Now, of course, they congregate around where the colleges are, but it's usually East Coast, West Coast, and they think that what's going on the East Coast, what's going on in the West Coast, is what's going on all over the country, it's not true.
Let's see what our caller has to say. Caller, I want to just cue something up. And as soon as we took your call, what do you think of the comment that I said that the intelligentsia, the best and the brightest, the ones that look down in you and I, over the last 50 years, their track record's not all that great, is it?
Well, actually, it really is, because they have promoted their agenda, they have achieved their agenda, so their track record is pretty good.
What is their agenda?
What they did not anticipate is that American voters would vote for Trump.
You know something?
No.
They thought they were almost okay with Hillary. They would have secured their objective, correct?
Absolutely, and kept the status quo. And the problem with that is simply that they don't respect the American people to vote the way they want you to vote. They look at us as if we're a bunch of dumb bunnies, and we should just keep our mouths shut and just do what we're told.
Yeah, but wait a second. Where's this getting us? I mean, to my initial point, let's just start. We don't have to go back that far. Vietnam, $20 trillion in debt. Look at just since 2000, getting involved in nation building in Afghanistan. Do you know how much money we've spent in nation building in a country that will never be a nation? How bright and how bright and intelligent that is, spending $10 trillion in a country for the last 10,000 years has been nothing but a wasteland.
And you know, the problem is that they don't study history. Because
they're above that, aren't they?
Well, absolutely. They're so brilliant until they don't study history. They don't have to. But everybody from Alexander the Great all the way to the Russians and then us who tried to impose our will on that nation, Afghanistan, have failed.
Yeah, but yes. So, I mean, I know that. You know that. How come the Harvard intelligentsia, you know, the McNamara's who got us Vietnam, you know, the others, you know, from the Bush administration who got us into what our current debacle is, they're the geniuses. What's wrong? How could they make so many dumb mistakes? I don't get it. They're the geniuses.
What's wrong is that they don't send their kids. They send these what they could call intellectual midgets to fight their wars. That's me, my son, your son, everybody's son and daughter. They sent over there to fight these wars that's illegitimate in the first place.
But don't you think we're pretty tame as a population? Let's just take Afghanistan. Not a peep, because isn't it like they have the shining objects to keep us entertained? Meanwhile, we're plundering our wealth and our young people in a war that has no end in sight, and there's no outcry. There's protests about resist, but there's no protest about, I don't see any protests about 10 years or 15 years of Afghanistan. Do you see any protests?
Well, I'll put it this way. There's a protest in this country, but not the one you think it is. There's a protest to keep the American citizens under control, to keep you buying into stuff that's irrelevant. It's like it's almost like the investigation of Trump. Mueller is there for one reason only. He was appointed to get rid of Trump. That's the only reason he's there. And that's his job, is to get rid of Trump, because Trump is not in their narrative.
So do you think also one of their objectives is to get rid of guns, because that affects their narrative as well, the eventual narrative?
You know, and that's irritating to me, because you will blame an organization like the NRA, and I'm not a supporter, I don't even own a gun, but you're going to blame an organization without addressing the crux. The true bottom line of that problem is multifaceted.
Well, something? What is it? Real quick, because we got to go.
No,
it's multifaceted. Okay, caller. Sorry we're up against it. You have a great weekend, and thanks for the call. I think it was a great show. I think we covered a lot of issues, and Dr. Lopkin, A+ once again.